You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN.
I blame you. We're just getting things ready, with the state basketball tournaments coming up starting next week. I will be out and about, but we are going to be... Monday it'll be you and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. Tuesday, we're going to do things a little bit differently for you and I, because usually you're from the back porch and I'm here. So you will be here with Isaac, and I will be calling in from out and about. So we're going to do it 180 degrees different next week. No one will know it, though.
They will know, because you mentioned it. But technology, you know, what you and I think is great advancements, simple stuff for Isaac and... many others.
I don't know about simple if you saw the way I was struggling before the show there.
Yeah. Well, let's see. It took you about 7 minutes to get it figured out. You know how long that would have taken Mark and I to get figured out? I would have had to call both kids.
We would have got it eventually, I think.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Appreciate it. A little behind-the-scenes glimpse of the Gym Class program. We got a good show coming up for you today. Mark Ironside will be joining us, the Hall of Famer, coming up here in just a little bit. It's a big night. You are excited, right, Isaac? You're ready to go for tonight?
Yep, I'm heading right over there after Spencer's show's done.
There you go. Flow Wrestling Night in America tonight, emanating from the Extreme Arena down in Coralville. A big card, so looking forward to that, and looking forward to your report on that. As well, and we'll see how the bouts will go here tonight. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Iowa, Oklahoma State, look ahead to the Big Tens. We will do that with Mark Ironside coming up in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class program. That's a phone line as well if you'd like to pick that up and give us a call, 319-366-1600 here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And, before we talk wrestling, though, we will get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you coming up in just a little bit. A Bowling Night in America preview. The guys, they better go tonight. I can say that because I won't be there. Guys, you got to go tonight. We got to get this thing turned around. Maybe it'll be better without me. I don't know. I've been bringing the team down as of late. So, hey, what can we do? It can't get any worse than it was last week. I know that.
A rudderless ship without the captain.
Oh, they'll be fine. As long as the as long as the spare ball is out of my locker, we'll be good and ready to go. Let's get to basketball before we talk some wrestling. Iowa and Iowa State both falling last night. I guess Iowa expected. Iowa State certainly not expected, Mark. We talked about it yesterday that the Cyclones, you just can't overlook anybody when you get into conference play, especially when you're in the Power 5 division. Iowa State got off to not a very good start last night, tried to come back, ran out of time. Cyclones fall to Oklahoma State in Stillwater, 74-68. Big win for Okie State to get back to 500, and that was a tough loss last night for Iowa State. That one is going to leave a mark a little bit.
It already has. Joe Lunardi today has the Iowa State Cyclones number 3, a 3 seed instead of a 2, and that could change, but it had an immediate impact, and it was a head-scratcher, and something's not quite right about that with this Iowa State team. I know it missed Momcilovic for a while. He's back. Missed Gilbert and Jones. Jones was back last night. Gilbert was not. I don't know whether that has something to do with it, but too many turnovers, too many points allowed last night, 74 points. And this is the Oklahoma State team that in its last two games against Texas Tech and Kansas had given up a combined, lost by a combined 70 points. And Iowa State lost and now faces Arizona at home. No easy out there either.
No.
Got to get it figured out.
You mentioned that couple things that Iowa State needs to work on. I think the defensive intensity, and we've mentioned that in the last couple of weeks with Kevin Lehman and others, has not quite been there. Not only that, but turnovers. Just way too many turnovers for this team. And granted, Keyshawn Gilbert did not play last night, but Nate Heisey had another nice night last night for Iowa State. And it certainly was not Nate Heisey's fault that this thing went off the rails. But like you said, with Arizona coming in Saturday night, you got to get this thing, you got to get the ship righted very, very quickly. Or, you know, I think 3 seed, 4 seed at the worst. I think Iowa State can still climb to a 2, but they got a little bit of work to do now.
And T.J. Otzelberger, head coach, pretty much promised that they're going to get it figured out. And I don't think it's beyond his realm that Iowa State will figure it out. Getting everybody back, getting the chemistry going again, getting the rotations, what they were like early in the season when Iowa State was playing very, very well. I think Iowa State will snap out of it, but this is not a good loss.
No, they didn't shoot it well from three, other than Nate Heisey in the game last night. He made 3 out of his 4 3-pointers mm-hmm. last night, but Momcilovic, he was 2 of 9. Taman Lipsey was 1 of 8. And like we said, just too many turnovers for Iowa State's taste last night. Justin Jefferson had 7 last night, so tough night for him, although he scored for the Cyclones, who are now 21-7 on the season. Should mention the Iowa State women as well. They almost put a century mark up in their win against UCF in Orlando last night. And for the Iowa State women, they are locked into the 7 seed and right on the good side of the bubble right now for the women's NCAA tournament. And they have Kansas State coming up on Sunday, top 20 Kansas State. And if Iowa State can come through in that one, they're going to still stay 7th and probably get TCU in their second game down in Kansas City. TCU beating Iowa State before, but it can only help Iowa State's standing in the bubble, on the bubble, if they can beat the Wildcats coming up over the weekend. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, it was a big night for Audie Crooks and others, and kind of an expected win, but you never know when you go on the road. Another big game in women's basketball tonight is Iowa at Michigan. That is 6 o'clock tip-off and has a lot to do with the Big Ten tournament seedings and perhaps NCAA tournament seedings. You know, Iowa has not done very well in closing out games. We'll see if it happens tonight.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Champaign last night, Iowa held serve for about the first half of the game, and then Illinois took over in the second half, scored 44 points, outscored Iowa by 13. Hawkeyes fall to the Illini 81-61, and another night, rinse and repeat, where Illinois clobbered Iowa, or the opposition clobbered Iowa in the paint last night, just taking it right to the basket. Illinois has got some very skilled bigs. We know Iowa just does not defend very well when others are taking it right to the rack, and that's exactly what happened again. And then sprinkle in a few three-pointers, and that's pretty much the way it usually goes.
And Illinois with only 5 turnovers. That was a big part of the game. I think Iowa had 17, and the matchup problems were bad. When Ibisevic goes out and scores 22, he's a matchup problem. He was hitting from outside, drove the lane, battled inside. He was a problem last night. Brock Harding, not exactly the most dynamic offensive threat in college basketball, led the team with 16 points. He had a nice game. He really did. But Sanford didn't appear whatsoever. 7 points. That was bad. Right now, Iowa, and it's the only thing we really have left to talk about with Iowa basketball, and that's the Big Ten tournament. And right now, Iowa sits tied for 14th in the league. 15 teams, of course, make it to the Big Ten tournament, tied with Northwestern and Minnesota. Iowa lost its meeting with Minnesota. Iowa won its previous encounter with Northwestern, plays it the Wildcats again on Friday night. And maybe that's, you know, the big game that will either propel or prevent Iowa from making the NCAA tournament or the Big Ten tournament. You know, what, three games left in the Big Ten season?
And, correct.
I don't know.
Two on the road and one at home against Michigan State on senior night, which is not going to be easy because Michigan State is fighting for first place in the Big Ten. And, oh, by the way, those pesky Northwestern Wildcats have beaten Ohio State and Minnesota in their last two outings, including going to Columbus and beating Ohio State. And it's been a very interesting case study over the years at Welsh Ryan Arena, or as you and I remember it, McGaugh Hall at Northwestern. Iowa usually either wins big or loses big. There's no middle ground over in Evanston. But that game Friday night, I agree with you. There is so much on the line because Nebraska is playing for an NCAA bid right now. They are right on the bubble. Most people have them out. Iowa's got to go to Lincoln to end the year. They've got Michigan State as their lone home game. They lose to Northwestern. You can almost see 6-14, and that is not going to get you into the Big Ten tournament. And that's, like you said, that's all we have to talk about right now. Well, until the year is over, officially for the Iowa men's basketball team.
It is. And to get into the Big Ten tournament, yeah, you want a chance. I get that. But this season is soon to be over for the Iowa men. You know, say what you will about what's going to happen going forward. Penn State could be a problem, too. Plays at Indiana. We know Indiana's been up and down. And Penn State could get its sixth win in the league. I think it's tonight. So, you know, far from easy for Iowa to get in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, this thing is not over. Michigan State is at Maryland tonight. That's a real good matchup, number 8 versus number 16. Penn State goes to Indiana. Ohio State is on the West Coast. For you late-night viewers, a 10:30 East Coast time start in Columbus, Ohio, as they take on the USC Trojans. stay up late if you're in Ohio tonight, ladies and gentlemen. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim, we are not laughing at the Cyclones. No one's laughing at the Cyclones. They just got to get a few things figured out. They will be okay. Josh and Ely also weighing in. All respect to Iowa State, even though they are going through a mini slide. And in Iowa's case, you can't fade what you faded all year. I get your point as far as that is concerned. And tough night last night at Hoops. Let's just put it that way. Tough night.
Yeah, and with Iowa State, I'm going to be interested to see how the Cyclones rebound. Arizona is going to be not an easy game by any means, but I trust T.J. Otzelberger to try to figure things out. It would help if Gilbert gets back and the whole cast is back together. And recreate that chemistry and the rotations and whatnot. So hopefully that'll happen for the Cyclones.
Yeah. Well, Mark's going to be here coming up here in just a couple of moments. So why don't we call a little bit of an audible here and let's go to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. At this present moment, it is brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They are open at 4 o'clock. A complete and terrific menu, and you can check it out online at emilshideaway.com.
On the scoreboard today, Diana Taurasi has announced her retirement from basketball at the age of 42. Among her many accomplishments, Taurasi won 6 Olympic gold medals, 3 NCAA championships, and 3 WNBA titles. State bowling yesterday in Waterloo, Cedar Rapids Kennedy captured the Class 3A girls state title. Decorah's Carly Einke won the 2A individual title, and the Cedar Rapids Prairie boys placed third in 3A. Jake Landry has been hired as the new running backs coach at Iowa State. Landry comes from SCS National Champion North Dakota State, where he was offensive coordinator and running backs coach. Three quarter teams qualified for the girls' state basketball tournament last night. They included Cedar Rapids Prairie and Iowa City Liberty in 5A, Cedar Rapids Xavier in 4A. The state tournament field will be completed tonight after 2A and 1A regional finals, including one at which Scott will be.
Yeah, Springville and Sigourney, the Orioles and the Savages going at it. So that'll be tonight. Looking forward to that. All right, quick break. Come back. Mark Ironside in studio. He will join us. Lot to talk about in the world of college wrestling, and we will do that when we return on a Wednesday midweek edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll have a mix of sun and clouds for today. Temperatures will be rising to a high around 50, and it will be a bit breezy at times, making it feel a smidge cooler. Tonight, the clouds will clear and the winds will back off. Temperatures drop down to a low around 32. Tomorrow, it will be sunny and temperatures will rise into the mid to upper 40s. It will still be breezy. And that wind continues into Friday, but helps push temperatures close to 60 as a cold front moves through. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star. And if you're hungry, Quick Star is the place for you. And it doesn't matter if you're busy or not, they've got something for you whenever you need it. We've got it for you. Grab some apps and meals. And that includes the great food at cheese curds, mini tacos, stuffed spuds, mozzarella sticks. They are all right there ready for you. That appetizer that you need right now, whatever you're doing and whatever you time of the day. And let Quick Star make your day easier and better with more delicious food, including a terrific chicken sandwich that I had on my way here to work today. Also, they've got some great specials going on right now. Nature's Touch Milk, skim 1% or 2%, 1 gallon, $2.99, limit 3. And Urge Chips and Popcorn, 5 to 12 ounce varieties, 2 for $3.50, limit 4. All that at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
When your friend says, "The next one's on me," think about how many alcoholic drinks you've already had and how another drink could affect your health. Excessive drinking can increase your risk of developing heart disease, the leading cause of death for men in Iowa. It can also increase your risk of liver disease, stroke, and more. That's why Your Life Iowa reminds you to say yes to drinking less alcohol. Get tips to reduce your drinking at yourlifeiowa.org. Source, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a message from Iowa HHS.
The best mornings
in the morning light
start with Wrangler.
I pull on my jeans and I feel all right.
Jeans, jackets, and shirts that get your day started on the right foot.
I pull my blue jeans on. I pull my old blue jeans on.
Good mornings make for better days.
I pull my blue jeans on. I pull my old blue jeans on.
Wrangler, for the ride of life.
Want a golf course quality lawn? It's easier and more affordable than you think with TruGreen. As the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, TruGreen brings pro-level expertise straight to your yard so your lawn can look like a fairway. Sign up by March 10th and get one free application. Plus, you'll get True Green's price match guarantee. If you're not satisfied, True Green will revisit your lawn between scheduled visits to make it right. Visit TrueGreen.com today to get a free application. Offer ends March 10th. Restrictions apply.
325 with you on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac, and Mark Ironside joining us here in studio as we will talk wrestling courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Northwest, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And I would imagine was as excited as you were.
What
the
do you
other
mean?
Night,
Kurt. Oh, heck yeah! I'm sure he was pumped along with everybody else. I've heard so many people talk about how loud it was when Fiore got that takedown in overtime. Like so many people.
Okay, you have been there for a lot of Iowa wrestling. Where does the volume level? I mean, it's not Brooks Simpson.
I don't know.
Was it close to Brooks Simpson?
It's getting up there. You know, I think Brooks Simpson and. When Kemmer beat Mark Hall that time, when Ramos pinned a kid from Penn State once, and then now this. I mean, there's been so many, but those are the ones that really actually, you know, not to toot my own horn, but when there was only 8,000-something people in there for the All-Star meeting, when I took Colot down for that last time, it was so freaking loud, too. I'll never forget that. Like, it was deafening loud. My ears were, like, ringing. It was so loud for the amount of people that were in the building. It was crazy. But... I mean, it was loud. There's no doubt about it. But I, you know, we've talked. Obviously, that's been the talk about everything. And Ferrari winning that match. And it wasn't the fact that he won the match. I mean, obviously the duel was on the line, and that's what won the duel for us at that point in time. But it was how he won the match, and that's what I was, like, so incredibly impressed with. In Angelo Ferrari is the fact that he went out, he was aggressive, he didn't score some takedowns where he was in on the shots. Yeah, he got ridden for a period, but man, he was trying everything in the world to get out. He kept coming to his feet. He kept trying to get hand control. He kept trying to do rolls. You know, he knew that he just got ridden for a period, so therefore he did not want overtime to go, you know, to the mat. He knew he really needed to score a takedown in order to win that match, most likely, because that's what was going to favor him. Once he got to overtime, he was tired. He was exhausted. It is so exhausting coming up to your feet and trying to get away regularly like he is and continue to come up. But so was Plott. Plott had to work so hard to keep him down, but Plott had to in order to even take it into overtime. But once Ferrari got into overtime and he was on that shot first and he did not get it in that scramble situation, it would have been so incredibly easy for him just to throw the towel in and just be done. And he didn't. He went right back to another shot. And that's how you do it. You don't stand around a whole entire match and, you know, and just try to keep it close and try to do something at the end or hoping the other guy makes a mistake. He put himself in a position multiple times in that match. Didn't wait for the last 30 seconds of overtime and try and sneak something in. Didn't wait till he got to the edge of the mat so if he took a shot or we were going to be out of bounds. You know, he did it and he did it right. And that's what I loved about the match the most. It was just not the fact how he did it, but it was how he did it.
Of course, the question for some becomes, what's next? And I thought Tom Brands had a very interesting answer afterwards. Love Ferrari. Love Gabe Arnold. We're going to do what's best. All things considered. And that part made me think. There's a lot to consider.
Well, there is because a lot to consider.
These guys, you're going to have this situation for two more years, unless something happens, aren't you?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think you'll see probably, my guess is, and again, you know, this is just me thinking out loud, that Arnold's probably going to drop down to 74 next year.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay.
So I think Ferrari will be 84. For this year, things that you have to consider, do you burn a redshirt year? Okay. What is that going to gain us?
That's my question right
What's
there.
That going to gain us? Is that going to get us second in the country instead of third in the country? I mean, is it worth it? You know, is it going to get Angel Ferrari a chance at the finals against most likely a five-time national champion? I mean, do we want to do that? Or do we, whether we have Gabe Arnold, in my opinion, is whether we have Gabe Arnold or Ferrari in the lineup, we're still second in the country and second in the Big Ten. So what do we gain by putting Ferrari out there burning a year of red shirt? That's how I look at it.
Red shirt next year.
Well, he could, but Storaci's not going to be there next year, so he has a lot better chance of winning a national title next year.
Playing devil's advocate.
That's how I'm looking at it. So you give this kid an opportunity to do the most with his career, and he hasn't redshirted yet, and we got a guy in there, Gabe Arnold. It's not like he's bad or a horrible wrestler, or it's a huge hole for us by any means. You know, it's great experience, great opportunity for Gabe Arnold to grow as well, too. So, you know, but I don't know. I mean, that's a Tom Brand's decision. So,
yeah, but I agree with you. I think you got to ask yourself, okay, what's best for the young man? Number one, and number two, is it going to help the team? And I, to me, if it was my decision, I would not burn the red shirt on Ferrari.
And here's the thing, Tom is a awesome coach. He's a very good communicator. He'll do his due diligence. He'll talk to Gabe. He'll talk to Ferrari. You know, he'll talk to these guys. He'll have conversations. He's not just going to go. He doesn't just go and say, oh, here's what we're doing. You know, he's going to talk to him and say, okay, and here's the reason why. What do you guys think? Here's this. And everybody will be on, no matter what happens, I guarantee you that everybody will be on the same page. Guaranteed. There's not going to be, oh no, Ferrari didn't get a shot, he's going to leave the program. He loves where he's at Iowa, and he is a team player, and the same goes for Gabe Arnold. It's a great problem to have, you know. Now, next year, the biggest question is, why didn't Patrick Kennedy wrestle the other night? It was senior night. He's a senior. He's got another year, okay? He's got one more year left. And that's why he didn't go out for senior night. He wasn't one of the seniors. Now the question is, okay, if Gabe drops down, who's going to have that starting position? Well, that's wrestling. You're going to have to fight it out. So it is let the best man win. And that's kind of how it is right now with you know, him and Nelson. I assume. Again, I don't know. I assume there's going to probably be a wrestle-off or two out of three. I don't know that. But that's just what I assume that's probably what's going to happen at this point.
The meet itself, I thought Oklahoma State was going to win. You didn't tell me that Ferrari's going to wrestle, and you didn't tell me that he's going to be plot. Aside from that, it was basically a chalk meet, according to seedings or rankings anyway.
Yeah, it was.
I was impressed with this Caliendo once again.
Caliendo, ever since that Messenbrink whipping that he took. And quite honestly, even up until then, but besides Messenbrink, he has just been like
new gear.
He's found a new gear. He was doing well up until Messenbrink, and Messenbrink just cleaned his clock. But after that loss to Messenbrink, he's taken it to a whole another level that we haven't seen him yet. Is that going to allow him to beat Messenbrink? Most likely not. But hopefully, it'll at least get him to where he's not going to get teched by him. You know, at least we can go like an entire match with him. You know, he just has to build that confidence. But yeah, Caliendo's looking really, really good. And I'll tell you who else had a great match, and I was very, very impressed with, that nobody saw coming, was Drake Ayala wrestling that kid from Japan. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about this. Like, he hasn't wrestled in a dual meet or a varsity match basically all year, the kid from Oklahoma State. They didn't expect him to probably come out and wrestle. They didn't have a lot of video or know much about this kid or whatever. So Drake Ayala takes the mat, and this kid comes out, and he's like, he has no clue what to expect. Like, none. He doesn't know if he's got a really good sweep single to the left side. He's got high crouch to the right side. He doesn't know, you know, what he does on top and bottom. Luckily, you know, he wasn't very good down on the mat, the top and bottom positions, because he's from Japan, and he's not used to folk style. He's used to freestyle, so he's just used to laying there. He doesn't really know what to do from top, so that benefited us. The other thing is, he hasn't wrestled much, so he was not in shape, so that benefited us. But Drake went out and scrapped. Like, he scrapped in some scramble positions and just basically flat out wrestled that kid and without knowing anything about him. And they knew everything about Drake. They'd seen Drake, you know, many, many times over for 2-3 years now. So kudos to Drake for getting the major in a situation like that without knowing what was at hand, really, what he was going to be facing there. So I was very impressed with Drake Ayala.
Little things happen. I thought it was a great meet. First
it was a fantastic meet. It lived up to the hype. It was back and forth battle. They went 25. We went 33. They went 41. We went 49. We went 57, 65. They went 74. They were expected to win 84. We win 97, and then heavyweight was not pretty, which we didn't expect to be. So
Henriksen's good.
He's good, but the thing is, I'm tired of people saying, yeah, he's good. He's just that much better. Yeah, I get it. And he's 26 pounds heavier,
yes, that's
and
true.
It's pure muscle heavier too. But he's getting in on our legs without us even remotely even like flinching or moving our feet. Like we are just not moving at all. We're just not reacting. We're not out there moving our feet. It wouldn't matter who he's wrestling. We go out and wrestle like that, we don't move our feet, we're gonna get beat.
Yeah.
And but that's my thing is with Keter is he's so much better than what he's showing right now, and he's just not showing who Ben Keter is or what his capabilities are right now.
One thing, I know he lost, but Brand's not getting allowing a major. I mean, that helped a little bit. Hammond looked good. And Nelson, you know, yeah, you're not agreeing with me. That's all right. You don't like when people lose, but
it's not that. It's not that he lost because he didn't expect to win.
No.
But it's how we lost. I just felt like we went out there and didn't even try to win.
Just like, playing defense.
100%. We didn't take any shots. We did enough on the bottom not to get called for stalling too many times, and that was it. Our whole purpose, I felt like going out in that match, was just not giving up the major.
Right.
That's how I felt. And I don't like that. I don't like that mentality. I mean, I just don't think we stepped foot on the mat even remotely trying to win, like we tried to win the wrestling match. It was just do not give up a bonus point. And he did that, so it was kind of like a victory for him. But that's not the purpose of shaking hands and toeing the line, and that's how I felt that match went. So, yeah, kudos to him. He didn't give up a bonus, but you know what? Patrick Kennedy's wrestled him twice. He's lost 4-3 in 96 twice and hasn't given up a bonus. So, you know, we didn't gain anything there. We actually, you know, we got beat worse, so...
I want to ask you about heavyweight, Mark. Not exactly your wheelhouse, because you don't weigh that much.
No, that's good. I'm like 5'5", so that'd be bad.
All right, look, we know Keter's undersized, and the top end of the weight class is 285. I mean, between 197 and 285, there's a disparity like no other weight in wrestling. Keter's been outweighed by Kirkfleet, Stevenson, Henriksen, most others, and this isn't cry for Iowa type thing, but the heavyweight division, I've thought about that, and whether you create another, I haven't seen any movement out there that anybody wants to do it, but it seemed to make sense to put another 215,
like probably a 220, I think would be a good weight, you know, kind of like the freestyle weight, I think would be really, really good. I think it would benefit the sport a lot. And I think that's why sometimes you have a hard time finding a lot of good heavyweights is because those guys, those in-betweeners, like Keter, go and play football. And because they're just outsized against those bigger heavyweights, and they can make, you know, potentially more money, full rides, and benefit financially a lot more in the sport of football than you can wrestling.
It has nothing to do with that. Keter's a good wrestler.
No,
or not.
Absolutely not. No, I get it.
No, and other teams are going to benefit too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you 100%, Mark. I've never even heard it brought up. I mean, here's the thing. Will it ever happen? Probably not. It's been the same. It's been 10 weights for God knows how long. But at the same time, we got a 3-point takedown, so who the hell cares at this point? You know what I mean? If you can change that, you can throw one more weight in there for all I care.
Mark Ironside joining us here at 3:39 as we talk college wrestling with you here in a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Also, I thought it was refereed very well. They knew when to call. You know,
there's one place in there. That I don't know what the heck they're looking at.
Girl, you can see yourself.
I don't know if he got paid by David Taylor ahead of time or what, but there's a place in there that I would really, really, really like to know what they're looking at, even in the review. Overall, I will agree.
They knew when to call stalling, and they knew when not to call stalling.
It was a pretty well overall refereed match. They did pretty well. The one place in there that I just am absolutely mind blown is the teamer situation where he ended up getting the takedown, secured the takedown, and got zero near fall.
Yeah.
Like, that is at the bare minimum a 5-point move. 3 takedown, 2 near fall. Bare minimum. But that should have been like a 3-point near fall or 2 separate. You could have counted 2 near fall, like 1, 2, and then he rolls off. And then restart the count. 1, 2, and then he rolls off. I mean, 110% for sure that was a 2-point near fall. I don't know. And then they reviewed it. I don't know how they could not. They showed it on the big screen. I don't know how many times I've seen replays of it. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I'm mind blown how that wasn't a near fall point. And it just, luckily, it would have made a difference whether we got in the major or not at that point in time. But if it had, and that was a dual meet, I'd be very, 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 very upset.
Tonight, you're heading down to Iowa City.
I am.
Isaac's
with Isaac.
Heading to Iowa City.
Isaac's going.
Leono, the final match, the main event. Lee knows a little bit about Ono. He was out of Penn State.
No, he was at American University. Well, he went to college at American University.
But Ono was...
He might have trained at Penn State after.
Penn State. Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but he wrestled in college for American University. So they've never competed against each other, though. They may have rolled around and trained a little bit together. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's the final match of the night. That's the match on the card, you know, the highlight match of the card, which I think there's, I was just looking on my phone, like 13 matches or something.
Is that right, Isaac?
Three high school.
There's a couple female matches. Mm-hmm. And then you've got David Carr wrestling tonight. You've got Austin DeSanto wrestling Seth Gross tonight. Who else is it? Is Valencia not wrestling?
No, Zahid Valencia is, but Brooks pulled out. He was supposed to face Brooks, and Brooks was injured, I don't know, like a month ago.
Month ago?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Valencia's on the card. There's Tomasello from Ohio State's on the card.
Austin Gomez is
on the card. And that should be against Andonian, I think. That'll be a fun match to watch. They were high scoring and high flying at the Nationals a couple of times. It was the most entertaining thing at the national tournament that year, I remember. So there's going to be a lot of good, fun matches to watch. I'm just going, and I'm just going to be a fan. I'm sitting in this. Actually, I'm going to go to Josh Schomburger's suite and kind of hang out up there. And
A fan.
I'm just going to be a fan tonight. I don't have to have a headset on.
Privilege, Mark.
Hey, you know what else? I went to the Iowa Women's basketball game on Sunday with my mom, and first time, you know, I tried to take her to one Iowa Women's basketball game a year, and oh my gosh, that was, even though we lost, that was an awesome, awesome game. Just the excitement and energy level and the back and forth. But I was so nice to just sit in the stands, eat some Carver ice cream, hang out with mom, and just not have to talk, you know? It's awesome. I really, really enjoyed it.
Question on the, two-part question on the text line from Matt. Asking you, we talked about Ferrari and Plot, but where does it kind of, he asked, where does it rank all time in Iowa history? I'll let you answer that.
As far as like an overall match goes, I mean, it's right up there. I mean, there's no doubt. You can't really say, because there's been so many, and we're talking Carver Hawkeye Arena here. There's been so many amazing, amazing matches, but it will rank up there for sure. I mean, there's no doubt. And especially with a sold out crowd. What the dual meet? We don't win that match. We don't win the dual meet.
No.
You know, we don't. I mean, what was the final score?
It'd have been 1918.
1918.
It would have been.
Would have been. Well, then
had Plot won a decision.
1918. But then let's say, you know, if Teamer would have got that 2-point near fall and been close to a major, it might have been different in his head, and he would have gotten the major then, knowing he was that close to the major. 1919. It could have been a humdinger right there of a dual meet, you know, came down, and I don't know if I would have won actually on total match points. Probably not, but it would have been that close. But it was up there. I mean, it's up there. I love it.
And with the second part, with the recruits coming in, the current roster, is the gap closing with Penn State? Until Penn State goes into the portal again.
No, probably not. After this year, I mean, who depends, you know, what do we do in the portal? You know, I mean, we're losing a lot of guys this year too. And, you know, so is Penn State's going to lose some guys as well too, or whatever. But You can't, you literally, with the portal these days, you can't look ahead anymore and think, oh, yeah, next year they're losing these guys, or we're losing these guys, or we got this guy back. Where all that is out the window.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, I mean, who would have thought Oklahoma State was going to be where they're at right now? I mean, he went and, I mean, look at what Hammond's done for them, you know? I mean, five brand new guys in their lineup out of the portal, Oklahoma State. So, you know who's going to be hurt next year, which, compared to this year, but they're having an amazing, amazing run this year, is Doug Schwab and UNI. I mean, they got a team this year. It's a good veteran team, and I hope they can go a long ways with this team at the national tournament. But they're going to lose some firepower next year too.
Very true. Very true.
But yeah, that portal changes everything. Portal and NIL.
And Brooks Simpson had a good one. Yes, 85-82. We all remember Brooks Simpson.
Yeah, heck yeah. Beating Volker, that was insane. You know, that's
still
like
the loudest, I think, ever.
All the highlights, you know.
I still think that was the loudest ever.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, it's loud. I mean, that's the thing is, you get the – and I was at the Iowa Women's basketball game, and I tell you what, that crowd was loud. Like, loud. But that Carver wrestling crowd, when something big like that happens – it's just, and it's kind of different for me because I have my headset on the whole time. So a lot of that's, you know, blocked a little bit or whatever, but it gets so incredibly loud. Those wrestling fans, they can scream and yell. That's for sure.
Ironside's right. I mean, I go back to when Ciparelli would pin somebody and Alger and,
good to see Royce in his cowboy hat Sunday
on
night.
The bench, going through the line, shaking hands like he's part of the team. You know, that's the other thing that
don't tell Royce he's not part of the team.
And there was alumni thing beforehand. It was just really, really good duel for the iWrestling program to win. It was a great way to cap the regular dual meet season. There was alumni social beforehand, and they got introduced at halftime. You know, we had some important people there. Cooper DeJean is there, you know. I mean, it was just almost like a Cinderella at night for the Iowa wrestling program, and it was awesome. And the funny thing is I don't know how this happened, but there was former Oklahoma State wrestlers and coaches, Coach John Smith for one, spread out throughout the arena. Like, you know, a lot of listeners probably don't know these people, but from back when I was wrestling, like, I wrestled a Jamel Kelly, I think my senior year. That's who I wrestled for Oklahoma State. He was there in the crowd, like, literally three rows down in front of me, right next to, he was sitting right in front of Kirk Ferentz. And then across the aisle from me, down two rows, is John Smith, wearing not a cowboy hat, but kind of like a cowboy hat, but it wasn't your full-fledged, you know, like Royce Aldridge cowboy hat, and he had a beard on, just regular street clothes, wasn't wearing Oklahoma State stuff. I seen Hardell Moore, who used to have some battles with Joe Williams. I seen Teague Moore, who used to have battles with Jesse Whitmer. All these Oklahoma State people were there, but not even like together. Like, they just found tickets and this and that and came out to like support Oklahoma State. And I don't know if David Taylor reached out to him and asked him, hey, come on, let's get some of you guys here. It was just weird, but just the magnitude of that event and the historic and the history of that dual meet, it brings everybody in, and it was just an awesome, awesome dual meet. And like I said, it lived up to the hype, and thankfully, you know, the Hawkeyes pulled it out.
Isaac had his eyes on you, Mark.
Right, yeah, Isaac? Well, you can't help it. I mean, I sit right in front of him. He doesn't really see the back of my head the entire dual meet.
Yeah, you stand up a couple of times. I have to get a little bit up just to see if I can see.
I don't normally stand up,
see.
But that night I was standing up a
little
bit.
I don't blame you. But I did have to stand up a couple of times just to make sure I could actually follow what was going on with my notes.
You know, my daughter was listening and on the radio, and she texted me during the duel and said, "Dad, you gotta calm down. You're literally blowing up your mic. Your mic's gonna go out. It's so loud." And the funny thing is, I haven't seen the highlights or anything, but like normally I'll see a lot of highlights, like when something big happens, because they always use our voices from the radio to show that stuff. I haven't seen anything, probably because it was so loud and cracking for my voice that it was not good footage, and they couldn't. It was probably the reason.
It was a fun night. It was a fun night. And now championship season, a couple weeks away. You got Big 10s, obviously. You got Big 12s, obviously. And then you try to get as many wrestlers to Philadelphia. That's the name of the game now. And get your lineup set.
Yeah, and stay healthy.
And stay healthy.
That's a big one, staying healthy. So, yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about next week. I can't remember when the pre-seeds come out. Do you know, Isaac?
Not off the top of my head. No, I can't remember.
I don't know either. So hopefully we'll have our lineup set. Was it last year that we got in? We registered someone too late for the Big Ten and they didn't get a seat or something?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think that was, I was trying to talk about that with Loretta yesterday because there was someone that just entered really late and I can't remember what weight class
it was. But it was an Iowa guy. We didn't enter him until the last minute or something too late. And I'm pretty sure that was last year. So for whatever reason, hopefully, I mean, that doesn't happen this year. So. They figured it out before.
Paperwork. Got to get the paperwork.
Do you remember this guy?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I know that happened. I'm just trying to think of who it would have been or what. So, but I know it happened, but hopefully that doesn't happen this year.
Got to go to Evanston, too.
Hey, yeah, that's better than Philadelphia. I know I'm not looking driving all the way flying out to Philadelphia. The only highlight of that for me is going to be to go see the Rocky Balboa statue.
That's all you're looking for?
You run the steps out there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I could recite you every word of every line in every Rocky movie. Like, I'm not even joking. Like,
when
I competed, I was Rocky. That's who I was. Like, in my head, I used to run around in my basement in circles, cutting weight and training, or run the paper out in the morning and stuff. I had my Walkman with me.
Yo, Adrian!
And I was listening to the soundtracks of Rocky. That's what I did. You know, I was Rocky Balboa. So I am going to go see that statue for sure.
Sounds good. So Big Ten's in Evanston. The Big 12s will be in Tulsa again this year. So
every year.
Every year they're down there. And we'll see how UNI and Iowa State do.
Yep.
And
should be interesting. It'd be interesting to see how UNI and Oklahoma State fare and being in there together and stuff. So Missouri's kind of down this year. I think.
Yeah, Iowa State thumped. Well, they didn't thump them, but they beat Missouri over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Mizzou was really falling off in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Key O'Toole had some injury issues this year, too.
Who?
O'Toole did.
O'Toole, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't help. Doesn't help, certainly. All right, my man. Good job.
All right, thanks.
You got your Wrestling Town USA sweatshirt on.
Wrestling Town USA, baby. Iowa City, Iowa. We're going at it tonight, and I'm just going to be a fan and hang out and looking forward to it. Yeah. So
make Josh buy you something.
Well, I'll be in his suite, so whatever's in there. I was talking to Coach Gable on the way here, and he says he's going to be up in that suite tonight, too. So I get to hang out with Coach Gable a little bit. And I'll see him tomorrow, too, because I got to go to his awards banquet tomorrow on Boone. So it's a busy time of year. And then we got kids at AU this weekend, so we'll leave Friday for that. And it's just, it's like, ugh.
And this guy finds time for us, Scott.
We and our listeners. More our listeners than us. I mean,
it's all for Kurt.
It's all, and Kurt.
Thank you, Mark.
It's all for Kurt.
And thank you, Kurt. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Appreciate it, fellas. Sorry if I took up too much time. We'll see you next Wednesday.
No, you did not take up too much time. You were right on time.
All right.
We're going to take a break, come back, and we will have a Bowling Night in America preview for you when we return.
Brand Camp, where businesses build their brand.
The sun peaks over the horizon. Nature begins to awaken. The rooster crows. And your alarm sounds a screeching tone that jolts you from your slumber. Your heart starts pumping and you reach to put an end to the horrid noise by hitting the snooze button. But you have placed the alarm clock far enough away that it requires you to get out of bed. As your feet hit the ground and you sit upright, you scream out in agony. Oh, my back! Notice that you didn't wake up saying, I need a new mattress. Your focus was on the problem, not the solution. Hey, I'm Stacey Dayball. What solutions do you offer to your customers? Are you telling them how you can help in a way that actually catches their attention? You need a transformation from KZIA. Let us add more customers through a proven system that finally breaks through and get your business famous for what you do. Join me April 8th at 8 a.m. for Brand Camp at the African American Museum. To register, go to KZIA.com, go to the Brandsformation tab at the top of the page, and sign up there. I can't wait to see you.
Michelle Smallman here. Are you dreaming of seeing your team draft their next superstar? Travel Wisconsin is sending 10 lucky fans and a guest to the draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Witness unforgettable moments and make memories that will last a lifetime. Don't miss out. Enter Travel Wisconsin's Dream Draft Sweepstakes. Visit travelwisconsin.com/draft to learn how you can win a trip to experience the biggest moment of the offseason. Epic moments that become lifelong memories are waiting to be discovered across Wisconsin. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to TGL, presented by SoFi, golf's newest league. It's sharp, and it's electric. How is it sharp? How is it electric? Good questions. Try this on for size. 2 hours of hammer dropping, overtime, forcing, playoffs on the line, golf. With 24 of the best players from the PGA Tour, split into six teams, Atlanta, Boston, Jupiter, LA, New York, and the Bay. This isn't your average Sunday pickup game. Tune in every week for TGL matches, only on ESPN. Keep up. It's golf.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it is a midweek Wednesday. That means it is time for Bowling Night in America. And this preview is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Thanks to the entire staff over there, Tom and everybody. And they are the host of Bowling Night in America, which will the boys are going to go without the captain tonight, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, and postseason play for the Rusty Nails, probably a distant vision.
We are like the 16th seed right now.
Yeah,
in the
just hoping to tournament. Hoping to somehow get in, but it's not hopeful. But we'll be there, 27-28 tonight against 3C Plumbing sans Scott Unesh.
Yeah, but with three Bruiners, I think. No waiting, which will make a certain man from another team very happy, because he enjoys when there are three Bruiners there. That's buzz.
Who doesn't?
Well, who doesn't enjoy when three Bruiners are there? But we'll have a complete update and report for you coming up tomorrow. Let you know who did well, et cetera, et cetera. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. He's in the on-deck circle here from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. The Iowa women with a big one tonight against Michigan. Seeding-wise, Big Ten, NCAAs, et cetera, et cetera. You name it. This is a biggie tonight at the Chrysler Center. Don't say Chrysler Arena. It's the Chrysler Center now. So we'll see how they play out tonight.
Yeah, Michigan, young, very good team. And a lot on the line for both tonight.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. The coach, Kevin Lehman, will join us. It'll be our off-the-glass segment. We will talk the latest in college basketball, Iowa State, UNI, and Drake. Kevin was there in Cedar Falls on Sunday for the call of UNI Drake. So we will talk about that and all things basketball coming up tomorrow. All right, good to see you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you soon. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, stay tuned. Spencer on Sports is next right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Hope you enjoyed it. Back with you tomorrow at 3.
Empower. Jen has ordered a decadent seafood tower, king crab legs, lobster.